Welcome back to Season 2 of the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by Ron Brown Implements. All your tractor, trailer, and tandem needs. Call Ron just north of Delisle at 306-834-7109. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. Right. Well, we're back with the Jack Norris Podcast, Jack Unmasked. Jack, how are things going today?
Pretty good. Hockey's ready to start and all that stuff. Things are going well.
You also had something else happen to you this summer.
Oh, I did.
Yes. You were pretty excited, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Why don't you tell everybody what it was?
That park we had out behind my house, they said they're going to call it the Jack Norris Park. So Pat Crapley was the one that got me into to do this, and she said it would be no better guy to have it named after than Jack, because I was out, I guess, promoting it at the start and pushed it all to all the neighbors that we're going to have a park if everybody gets behind it and does it, so all that. So anyway, it worked out. So they had a function one night, and all the kids were there and had ice cream cones and everything else, so it was a very touching deal.
That's awesome. I don't think Pat listens anyway, so she won't be offended if you forgot her name for a second.
No, not likely, no.
I don't know if she's into the old-time hockey type story. So, well, that's awesome. So can you believe we're actually on season two of the Jack Norris Podcast?
I know. That's pretty amazing. We've got things lined up for this summer. I think we're going to be in good shape with all the guys we got coming on. It's going to be a pretty interesting summer. I won't disclose who's coming on or whatever, so... But I think it's going to work out just fine. It's going to be really good.
I think so, too, actually. You've done most of the legwork on that, talking to a few guys, and the reception has been quite awesome so far. So if the guys that you've talked to that say they'll come on the show actually come on the show, we've got a real great season coming up here.
Well, it'll be top-notch, because you're going to hear a lot of stories about a lot of different things back in those days, and if you're from the older school listening, you're going to really enjoy it. You'll be sitting back in your easy chair just and sucking up all everything and just really listening to all this stuff. So it's going to be really good.
Oh, yeah. These guys have some great stories. And well, actually, even you just talked to Gary Peters the other day, who we haven't talked to since he was on the show. And he was saying he had a great time and he really wants to come back, doesn't he?
Yes, he said, I can hardly wait. I said, would you come back and do more? And he says, absolutely. He said, I can hardly wait. He said, I really enjoyed that. And it's nice to talk hockey and sit down. He said, your kid's doing a pretty good job as the MC on there. He's pretty good. And I said, oh, yeah, he practices all the time. So he's pretty good. Yeah.
And I get paid to talk. That's about my level of expertise, isn't it?
You get probably paid too much.
Easy here. Actually, yeah, what I'm really looking forward to when we talk to Gary is he's got some really good Gordie Howe stories. We've heard them before, and I can't wait till he tells that one.
He's my age, and we played together in junior. I've told this before, but we played together in junior, and I used to just hate him because he was with Regina, and I was with Estevan and all this. And so after hockey was all done, we met up in Saskatoon one time, and you know, you kind of forgive and forget about the past. And so I went and shook hands with him and everything else. And you know what? Ever since that time, we've been pretty close friends. We just get along really well. And in fact, I saw him a week ago in Saskatoon, just out in the street one day, and he hollered my name, and I came over and talked to him, and that's when he said that he'd be so happy to come back on. So
yeah, that's right. And right now we're working on, and mostly you, working on doing a fundraiser event in Delisle next summer, maybe second week of August, something like that. The date hasn't been hammered down yet. Gary would be a great guy to actually have out there and maybe get us some contacts of guys that want to show up, because that's what he did with kids sport his whole life.
He's got lots of contacts. He's got a book probably thicker than the Bible of guys' names and all phone numbers and stuff like that, so he can get a hold of anybody. I guess I can tell people that we're pretty sure that Dennis Hull's going to be coming to that one, and we hope there'll be a few other ones too.
So do you know how many episodes we did last year?
I'm going to guess 13, 14.
16, I think we did.
Really? 16?
Yeah, yeah, 16. Right. Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's a lot of stories.
That is, actually.
That's a lot of BS, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. So, it's one of those things that I guess we can keep on making it up and keep telling the stories if people are listening.
Well, I've been told by guys all summer. I meet them out in the field, driving the countryside, or meet them on the street. And everybody says to me, that's a great show. I just love that show. I can hardly wait till the next one.
Yeah.
A lot of guys say, what are you going to talk about next time? I say, oh, I don't know for sure, but there'll be something to come up.
Hopefully the guys that we get on the show can tell the stories as good as you can. So that's what makes it entertaining as well. And it's all because these are the type of things that, you know, people just, they've either forgotten about, or it's just, you know, a lot of these things just wouldn't happen today.
No, exactly. It wouldn't. But you know what? That's the key of playing hockey, is you're not friends with anybody you play against, because that's, you're so dedicated to your sport, to your team. And so you're not friends with anybody all year, but when you're all done, it's, you got to forgive and forget. And then you just shake hands with everybody, and you're the best, just best buddies, because you got so much to talk about amongst each other.
So you got a couple interesting stories when we were talking here last week about some of the experiences you had with either A, and with the refs in the game, and a couple of the situations that necessarily occurred. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
If there's any kids listening, or younger people, or coaches that are listening to the show, it's good to be friends with the referees. I mean, not friends, but be in good terms with the referees. Like, be it so they can come over to your bench and you can talk to them and not, you know, curse them out and stuff like that. And they're only human too. They're just trying to do their best job. But I remember one time, this Bill Friday was our ref, and we were playing in Philadelphia.
That's where I must have got it from, hey? Being friendly to the refs all the time.
Absolutely. You got it from me, yeah, no doubt.
Totally did, or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You must have forgot to tell me that when I was younger and coaching some junior hockey there. Whoops. But anyways, you probably had the right theory versus me. But continue on with your Bill Friday there.
So we're playing in Philadelphia anyway, and that's when Sanderson was in the WHA, I must make it clear, and the Philadelphia Blazers, I think they were called. And Sanderson was playing for them, and my other buddy who did my carpenter work in my basement, J.C. Mignua, who also played with them. So we're playing there one night, and Bill was reffing, and play was in our end, and I was in the net and kind of went over to the left side, and I was getting out as much as I could to cut the angle, and there had a bunch of guys in front, and I really couldn't see, and I got pushed back into the net a little bit, so you're opening it up a little more. And so anyway, this guy, I could see taking the reaction of his body, he was taking a shot, and I ain't never seen the puck. But you know, as a goaltender, you just all of a sudden you just react to it. And I'm standing there in my crouch with my hand out, and then all of a sudden I could just see this black spot going by the corner of my eye, and I threw my hand out to catch it, and I caught it. Like, it was a miraculous save. Bill Friday was over to my left, and my hand was way back, and he was first put his hand up in the air, and then he looked at me, and I looked, and I was kind of, my feet went over, and I ended up just, it was a fantastic save. And so Bill was going to call it a goal. So then he put his hands out, and he says, no goal, no goal. So he came over to me after I got up and I had the puck, and he said to me, he says, kid, he says, you and I have been playing a long time together, he says, do you think that was in? And I said, you know, I have no idea. I said, you had a perfect view. You call it the way you see it. I says, it was a good save. He says, good save. He says, I've never seen a better one. He says, that was one of the best saves I've ever seen. He said, no goal. So people started booing him there and everything else. And no, it was funny with old Bill. He was a nice old guy. And he came from the NHL over to the WHA. He got offered a good contract, just like we did when we went. Like, my salary tripled when I went to the WHA, and I'm sure his did too.
Yeah, that's right.
No, he's quite an old man, and I got to tell you another little episode. You know, and I've met him for beers after in the hotel, and you know, he was a good guy, and he was good friends of mine.
You're talking what, Bill?
Yeah.
Was that common back then, that the refs were, you guys would see them, were you staying in the same hotels and you'd see them around, or?
Not usually, but you know, back in those days when you were starting a new league in a new town, they didn't know where to stay, so they were just recommended this hotel. But we never hung around with them all day. Well, if you ever met them in the lobby, you would always talk to them.
Yeah.
I mean, this other episode anyways, in San Francisco, and people got to imagine what Frisco, well, that was in the Western Hockey League, WHL. And there was six or eight teams in that league. And I was with L.A.
The L.A. Blades?
Yep.
Yep.
And we're playing against San Francisco this night. And
what arena was that?
the old Cow Palace.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's still there. We've looked it up, and I'm pretty sure it's still there.
Yeah.
And they've fixed it up since those days, but...
It's a rodeo barn, isn't it?
That's what it is. It's for cows.
Yeah.
And the big ice surface in there, it's got a big cement walls, but they're bigger than a hockey rink. So then you get, when a hockey rink goes in, they put the boards in and all that, make it smaller. So anyway...
You didn't body check against the cement?
No, no. So anyway, the game, warm-ups started, and so the game was ready to start, and it's quite a walk from the dressing room to the ice surface. I come down, and I get on the ice, and the game started, and I froze the puck, and Bill come in into the crease, and he went by, and I says, you know, I got to go to the bathroom so bad. He says, really? I says, yes, I got to go. I said, I'm going to crap my drawers if I don't. So he says, well, you know what? We got timeouts for things like that. I'll call timeout.
Yeah.
I says, really? I said, well, I'd sure appreciate it because I really got to go. So he went
and
over
to Bill Friday again?
Yep.
Yeah.
So he went over to the bench, told the timekeeper, he says, timeout. He says, the goalie's got to go in, got to do his equipment or something. So anyway, they announced that in the speaker that the goalie had to, and in those days, you didn't continue on. Your goalie got hurt, you call, the game was next period or whatever. That was right at the start of the period, so you couldn't do that.
Do you remember what period it was?
Probably first period. Yeah, I think first period.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I skated off the ice, and everybody's looking at me like, what's he doing? And I went up in the dressing room, Ted, take all my equipment off to take my pants off.
Yeah.
And had to sit down and do my thing and come back out and come back onto the ice about 10 minutes later. And all of a sudden, old Bill, he comes up. He says, everything okay? I said, oh, thank God. He says, I said, there was going to be a hell of a mess out here if we had to call timeout.
Yeah, well, that's true. You always wondered what happened back in the day. Like,
yeah.
Especially if a goaltender, because there's only one, had to go to the washroom or something. Like, what did they do?
Well,
because it happens.
You got to go. You can't help Mother Nature. So
kind of a sport where people are nervous all the time. And, you know, that type of thing definitely happens. So did this episode happen before the save that you made? Were you with LA before you were with? Was it Phoenix or Edmonton with the save?
That was before.
It was before.
The other one was in the WHA, so it would be after that.
Yeah, so Bill Friday definitely remembered you when you made that save because he had that interesting, where he had to say, time out, goalie needs an equipment change, where he really knew that at the end of the day, it probably didn't happen very often to him.
No, well, you know what? That's where I say it pays to know refs, know them, and you can talk to them, and they'll talk with you, and so they're not afraid of you. I mean, so many guys would come up and just sucker the ref because they're stupid.
Yeah, there's three famous incidences of where players had to leave the field or whatever because they had to go to the washroom. Right? There's the two goalie ones. Yeah. Actually, the first one was a tennis one. Jimmy Connor. I remember that one. When you mentioned this, I was like, well, this happened to Jimmy Connor way back in the U.S. Open or something like that. Like 1983, he had to leave to go to the bathroom, and that's what he even said in the press conference. But so that happened to Jimmy Connor in tennis. The rumor is, though, actually on that one, he was going to get a shot in his foot to freeze his foot. He didn't actually have to go to the bathroom.
Oh,
but whatever. That's somebody else can look into that if they want. But there is two goaltenders that famously have missed time because they had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, really?
Roberto Luongo.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was in 2005 playoffs.
Oh.
The trainer told him that, don't worry. They were going into overtime in the playoffs, game 2 or 3 against Anaheim. And the trainer said, don't worry, they won't start without you. And then he said he was sitting on the toilet and he could hear the game going on. He's like, holy cow, I got to get out there.
Oh.
So his backup had to go in for a few minutes, like 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh.
And they ended up, I think, still won that game. And then the other one was Ben Bishop in the Stanley Cup final.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually missed some time because he had to go to the bathroom.
Who did Bishop play for?
Tampa Bay. That was...
Oh, I remember that.
Just a few years ago, 2015 or something.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they had to go to the washroom. So it happens. It definitely happens, but it's probably back then, like you say, now they put the backup in or whatever happened. People wonder why you weren't in.
Yeah.
But when you played, they just stopped the game.
Yeah, they. I think we only had one goalie dressed.
Sure you would.
In those
in
days, I'm pretty sure it was just the one goalie. I know when I was in Boston, we only had the one goalie. If anything happened to you, hold the game up.
Yeah.
Because these can come back.
When we get Glenn Hall, because I don't think it's any secret that you're friends with Glenn Hall.
Yeah.
And he's one of the guys that you know, if we can get out there and visit him, he'll come on the show, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of people probably that know Glenn, but he got nervous every period.
Oh.
Right? I mean, so he's famous for having to throw up.
Every game.
Every game, every period, was it not?
I don't think although it could have happened during the game, too. Like, if he had anything
for sure before.
In his stomach. Yeah, but before.
He'd throw up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, as they're sitting in the dressing room, all the players are sitting there, and the goalie goes into the bathroom, and you can hear him in there, just throwing everything up, and had nothing left in his system, but he's got to be drained of everything. And,
sure.
And the guy says, goalie's ready tonight, where he's ready.
I mean, when we talk to Glenn, hopefully we can do a few episodes, because I want to talk to him about that and, you know, why he did it and all that kind of stuff. And then the one that's really interesting to me and is talking to him about the letter that you wrote to him.
Oh, yeah.
And the letter he wrote back to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a great letter, because we still have it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so I can't wait to do that with Glenn there. So
he won't have the letter I sent to him. I'm sure it's been burnt.
Be interesting if he remembers it, or if he, you know, once we show it to him and he kind of starts thinking back. Yeah, because it was 5 pages long he wrote back, yeah.
When I first wrote to him, it was a long time ago, and then I met up with him in the WHA when he became my coach in Edmonton that one time. Then I said to him, did you know that I wrote you a letter? And he says, so I told him about the letter, so I showed him. He says, you're the guy.
You wrote that letter.
You're the kid.
How many times have you heard that before? You're the kid.
Yeah. So, no, it was good. No, I've got some good memories with guys, and Dennis Hall will be great. We can get Gary Peters and get Dennis Hall.
Yeah.
And maybe Skrudlin. I
thought you at the beginning said you weren't going to say who we're going to maybe get.
Well, I wasn't going to, but when you mentioned Glenn Hall, I figured I might as well tell the rest.
Well, that's true, but I think he's a no-brainer. But,
yeah.
I mean, what is he, rated top, I don't know, 2 or 3 goaltenders of all time?
He
loves to tell stories.
He doesn't watch hockey games, you know.
Like, no.
He's a great friend of mine. We like each other. I can call him anytime, and he'll sit back. I'll talk hockey, and he says, I don't know a thing about hockey. I don't watch hockey at all. I never watch it. He says, I watch baseball. I love baseball.
Yeah.
So he'll be watching baseball. When the World Series starts, I'm going to phone him up before the game and say, what are you doing tonight?
Yeah.
And he'll be sitting there, so I'm watching the ball game.
Yeah. I think it's tough for athletes once they've finished up playing to be a spectator. I mean, it's not maybe not the same type of game that he used to play, but there's a difference between being an athlete and a fan.
Well, there is. I mean, somebody comes to Phoenix, for instance, like Paul, my other son, he's coming down, and he loves hockey games.
Loves it.
And I can...
All sports, really. He'll go to anything.
Yeah. And I don't care. I mean, I go when he's there just because it's the fatherly thing to do. But Toronto's there when he gets there this year.
Yep.
So I'll go to that Toronto game. But any other game, like he went to Calgary and game there last year, and you know what? I didn't go. I said, you go. Take the car.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you can set the thing so it just takes you right to the rink.
It's a different feeling of being an athlete and being in the heat of the moment and being in the game and participating in it, and then actually just being a fan. It takes, and sometimes it just takes time to kind of get over that you're not an athlete anymore and just become a fan. But it's quite normal, I think, that it happens more often than people think.
I'm up pretty good on hockey, although I don't know a lot of names like you do, but I do watch sometimes. I like? When a hockey game comes on is when Ron McLean comes on and he interviews players, or they have a thing with somebody. Like last year in the playoffs, they had that goalie from Lloydminster with Washington Cap.
With Holtby there, yeah.
Holtby, and I really liked that show. They showed out in the farm.
Oh, yeah.
Dad was out fixing the combine, and Holtby walks out, and dad, his dad was a pretty hard man too. You know, he looked like
he was a goalie.
He worked hard.
Yeah.
But, I just enjoy something like that. But when the games start, the playoffs I watch, but before, I go to a movie or something. And
yeah. His dad was a goalie. Holtby's dad was a goalie, played for the Blades, and his mom was a country singer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I used to live up north there, she used to kind of, she had a little country band. She was a good singer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw her in the Vermilion Bar, I think, one time.
Yeah? Oh, really?
Yeah. Way back when. Yeah, she was a good singer, so. One thing you mentioned, maybe not following up or knowing exactly all the players, but you are pretty good at predictions. So last year I asked you 2 predictions. We did a football one, actually, and I know you don't watch a ton of NFL football, but for whatever reason, you seem to get it right. Now, you picked the Patriots, and who wouldn't pick the Patriots?
Well, yeah.
And you got them right. I can't remember. I think that was the first playoff game or something.
Yeah.
And then at some point, we were trying to dig it up. One of the podcasts, we got talking about who was going to win the Stanley Cup. We might have been halfway through the playoffs, and you picked
Washington Capitals.
You did, yeah. Do you remember why you picked them?
The reason why is I looked at the West, and the West was not strong. I mean, when you got San Jose and Vegas and teams like that in there,
yeah.
And the East got Washington, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, all those powerful teams,
yeah.
I just knew it would be the East. But I had to just decide who was going to win out, and I knew Ovechkin. He wanted a cup in the worst way. I'm not an Ovechkin fan. But he wanted a cup, and I kind of went with that. What happened? So, yeah, no, I just said Washington Capitals, so I guess they did win. So
I cannot believe that they did not offer Barry Trotz a fair contract after the season.
I know.
I don't know what is going on behind the scenes there. That, oh, man, I would love to actually know. Maybe somebody out there does know what happened.
I think the writing was on the wall before that
sure.
ever happened.
Because they never offered him a contract in his last year.
And I think that he had... Virtually, you're not supposed to be able to do that until your contract expires.
No, he didn't get offered a contract, or he was done.
Yeah.
He was done.
Oh, he never come back, or he did?
They never came. No, they offered him such a low-ball contract. It was...
No, but he come back with New York, or whoever he's with.
Like, his contract was up with Washington.
Yeah.
And they offered him a really low contract, like $1 million.
Oh, really?
And I think New York paid him, I don't know, two or three or something. Yeah, I don't know what it was, yeah. But it was a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
But he just won the Stanley Cup.
I know.
He made the coaching decision. His coaching decisions throughout the whole playoffs were the reason why they got there. Sitting Holtby those first two games of the first series, I mean, we talked about that back in those episodes, was like coaching move of the whole playoffs, because he got that team fired up after that, and Holtby.
You know what I can, if I had to make a statement about that, is something must have happened with maybe Ovechkin or Holtby, or somebody has had words with him and they got bitter feelings. I don't know who, but somebody must have, because if when they don't offer him a contract after winning the Stanley Cup, something's wrong. Yeah. Something inside is wrong.
I think it's something between him and the GM.
Probably so.
And I think that he wants more control, and I think it's up higher than that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if Ovechkin and Holtby can complain. They got a Stanley Cup ring now. And Holtby didn't have the numbers to be the number one guy most of the year.
And I'll go back to that same Stanley Cup, which you're bringing back memories now of thinking about it, is I thought Holtby, for what he is, for what he did, I thought he was playoff
MVP.
MVP.
Yeah.
But they give it to Ovechkin, and some games Ovechkin, he didn't even break a sweat.
I didn't see that either.
He did.
No.
And I thought Holtby, he played, if Holtby didn't play great every night, they weren't going to win.
Yeah.
And he played great. Every time they won, Holtby was a star.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you got to kind of think of that. And but you know what? So be it.
Yep.
You give it to Ovechkin. And
next week, I'll give you time to think about this because I haven't even mentioned it to you. How about I'll try to get you to pick who is going to be in the Stanley Cup final?
Okay.
That's going to be a tough
one. I've already picked it, but I won't tell you who I picked.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be good. So, I mean, that's so hard to determine. I mean, even trying to pick the top eight teams that make the playoffs in each division is actually difficult.
You always have one or two big surprises.
I really hope you do not say the Toronto Maple Leafs, because otherwise I'm canceling this podcast.
Okay.
Okay, well, we will find out. Yeah, that was good. I think that was a good start to season number two here.
Yeah, well, I can hardly wait till we get some guys on next week and next month. That's when we're going to start hitting the big guys. So.
For sure.
And we can get two or three. One show can do two or three shows on the air. So that'll be really cool.
Once these guys get fired up and start talking hockey, these guys love talking these old hockey stories, so it'll be fun.
Dennis Hall will be so funny. When you get Dennis on here, he will be so funny.
I don't think he'll even need us in the room. We'll probably just turn the mic on and leave. He'll probably won't even know we were there.
Feed him a couple lines and he's on. Yeah, but he'll be great.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, well, thanks for that, Jackson, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet.
Have a bet. Well, season two sure got off to a crappy start. In this episode, we learn the relationship between player and ref and what really happens on and off the ice. If you'd like to be notified of the next podcast, which comes out every Friday, go to www.nccag.ca. Click on the podcast tab, enter your email address, and you will be subscribed and notified of each podcast as they come out. Until we talk next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
This is fantastic, say, to me, says kid. He says, you and I have been playing a long time together. He said, you think that was in? And I said, you know, I have no idea. No goal. No goal. That was one of the best saves I've ever seen. So the game was ready to start. I got to go to the bathroom so bad. I'll call time out. Bill comes up. He says, everything okay? I said, oh, thank God. He says, there was going to be a hell of a mess out here if we hadn't had to call time out. Can't help Mother Nature.